Back with Corey Brewer, the Houston Rockets, on the Grant Napier Show. The Rockets, one of the real surprise teams this year in terms of how quickly they've gelled. Mike D'Antoni's got them going on. Corey Brewer comes off the bench for the Houston Rockets. And first of all, I got to tell you, I'm looking at this from a broadcaster's perspective, and I'm thinking to myself, man, if I'm a player, I would love to play on the Houston Rockets because it is just bombs away. Shoot whenever you want. You know, Corey?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun right now. Coach D'Antoni's brought his culture to the Rockets, and he lets us play. You come out, and if you're open, you got to shoot it. If you don't, he's going to be mad.
And I didn't think you guys played well last night. You know, you caught the Kings. They were exhausted. We had just come off an 8-game trip. You've been through it. I'm not making excuses, but there's reality in that. The first two times I saw the Kings against the Rockets, I thought you guys, I was like, wow, this team's going to be tough to beat. You guys haven't been playing that well. I talked to Ryan Anderson a little bit about this before the game last night. Are you guys in a little bit of a rut right now?
Yeah, we're in a little bit of a rut, but last night was a good win for us. You know, because we come off the road also. We were on the road for 9 days. So, you know, come back home, get a win is good. We got two more games at home this week. It's crazy, though, Super Bowl going on.
How crazy is it? And I think that's the reason why we saw so many empty seats last night. People can't even get down here to go to the game.
Yeah, because they have the NFL experience all downtown.
Yeah.
So it's tough to get to the arena.
Yeah.
For me, it was tough to even get over here, and it's right across the street.
Do you guys practice down right here at the arena?
Yeah, we practice right at the arena.
So, seriously, it's crazy, right?
It's crazy, man. So for us, you know, it's gonna be it's gonna be a tough two games because with all the stuff going on, then we have a back to back. We got to be ready though because we need these wins because we're only two games in the third.
That's right.
We're only two games ahead of Clippers right now.
Corey Brewer, Houston Rockets, and correct me if I'm wrong. I think I read somewhere in notes. Isn't Yao being honored coming up this weekend?
Friday we're retiring Yao's jersey. So
that's gonna be phenomenal.
It's gonna be great. Man.
I used to love watching Yao play. I mean, a guy was such a marvel and was just like when he was healthy. Man, oh, man, you know?
I was lucky. When I first got to the league, Yao was still playing. He was amazing, man. With the touch he had to be so big, and he was just so skilled.
Yeah. You've been on a couple different teams. You've been around. And so here you are at this point in your career. Is this a perfect place for you right now?
It's a great place for me. You know, I come off the bench, just play hard, do what I have to do, and my team's winning. You know, it's always good when your team's winning. It's not good when you're – you're coming out of the bench and you're losing. It's tough.
Yeah.
But our atmosphere is great. The culture is great right now. I think Coach D'Antoni being the coach, he brought a lot of energy, a lot of positivity. Last year we didn't have a lot of positivity. Even though we made the playoffs, it was, you know, it just wasn't good. So right now everything is good. James Harden's playing out of his mind. And we added Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, two really good shooters. And the game's easy right now for us. We just got to keep it going.
You know, I'm so happy to see Eric Gordon healthy because, you know, I mean, no one goes out and tries to get hurt, but he's had the worst darn luck. And, boy, he looks really good right now.
He looks great right now. I'm happy he's healthy, too. Cause, he's been hurt the last 5 or 6 years, so people don't understand how good he really is. But he's proven that he's really good.
We're talking with Corey Brewer of the Houston Rockets. You know the narrative. Rockets can outscore most teams, but if you get them on a night where they're not making their threes, their defense isn't good enough. Truth to that?
To be honest, right now, that's what's going on. That's the truth. We got to get better defensively. But I think we all know it, which is a good thing. We know we got to get better defensively. So we got a couple more months before the playoffs start. Because when the playoffs start, we can play just a little defense. We're going to be able to score with anybody. So.
Corey, how good is James Harden, man? You get a chance to see him play every night. When I see him play, I'm just like, wow.
He's great. He's amazing. Man, the things he do, I think Coach D'Antoni moving him to the point guard is the best thing could have happened for him, happened for us. Just because, you know, he has the ball anyways. Now he just, you know, he just makes the plays he has to make, and he's playing an unbelievable level right now.
Now, I got to be honest. I didn't expect to see NBA players walking around down here on Radio Row. Are you doing anything special, or are you just here to take in and talk to people?
Just here to take in the whole experience.
It's pretty neat, isn't it?
It's great, man. You know, the Super Bowl is an amazing experience as it is. So just to come see all the guys. I just seen Warren Moon. I was a huge
Isn't that great? He's the best. Warren is just the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, so just to just see all the guys. It's great.
Now, are you going to be here on Super Bowl Sunday, or are you guys out of town?
No, we're here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're here all week.
So it's pretty crazy.
So it's going to be crazy for everybody.
Now, I saw you from where our broadcast position is this year. We're not on the floor anymore, but I looked down and saw you, you know, yapping it up with Dave Yeager a little bit. And I love Yeggs. He's only been here 1 year, but it seems to be a guy that a lot of players would love to play for.
Oh yeah, Coach Yeager. I would love to play for Coach Yeager. You know, he's a great coach. You know, what things he did at Memphis was amazing. So I think he's a good coach. I think he's gonna get Sacramento going in the right direction. I feel like y'all have a chance now if y'all can keep playing well. The AC is
that's it's wide open, man.
Yeah. So DeMarcus is, you know, he's amazing. Just You got to put it together.
I tell people that I got my crystal ball. This is what I want to see. I want to see a playoff series between the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors, because to me that would be must-see TV. You guys had a shootout earlier in the year when you went in there and won. That was a huge win for your team. But I got to tell you, that would be, and I know I'm not even speaking from your perspective, from a fan's perspective, that would be phenomenal.
Oh yeah, it'd be a great series. we both put the ball in the basket, so you know that's what we have to be. If we have a chance to get to the finals, win a championship, we have to beat the Warriors, and we know that.
Corey, even from when you began playing to now, the game has changed so much. You know, it's not an inside game; it's a perimeter game. The three-point shot has changed the NBA completely. You know, and I was talking about this with Vlade Divac and Peja Stojakovic last night. You know, it wasn't that long ago when they played in the early to mid-2000s when the Kings were really good. But even back then, as great of a three-point shooter as Peja was, it wasn't as big of a part of the game as it is now. Even from when you started to now, I mean, the game is just so much different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot different. When I first got to the league, I played in the Timberwolves, and we had Al Jefferson, and we threw it in every time.
That's right, man.
He was lethal down there on the block. Now it's like, not too many teams post up anymore, so it's more running gun, shoot threes. Most big men are shooting threes now.
Yeah,
like Joel Embiid, he hit like four threes on his other night. So you don't really.
Everyone, if you listen, it's almost like you can't shoot the three now, you can't play. You know, look at all the big shot. Carl Anthony Towns. You talk about Joel Embiid. Look at Cousins. He's the Kings' best 3-point shooter. You know, it's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, all the big men are shooting threes now. So
Al's not shooting threes. We were just in Charlotte. Al still has his big butt down on the block, and they still feed him the ball. You know that, right?
If you can score like he can score, you're going to throw it in there. So, yeah.
I mean, think about it. I mean, he's probably one of the few centers that hasn't taken his game. He has, you know, he can spot up and shoot the 15-footer, but that's about his range, man. That's not where you want Al, you know?
Nah, you want him on that block.
Yeah.
It's only a handful of those guys left. It's like a bunch of guys shooting threes now.
You know, I always talk about this in Sacramento because you've been on a lot of different experiences, camaraderie, chemistry. You know, you can see it when you have it, and then you can see it when you don't have it. And you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know if fans understand how truly important it is. You guys live together starting in end of September. You're together every day. You're together probably more so than with your family. And if you don't have it, man, it can be for a long year, huh?
That's true. Man, if you don't have the camaraderie, if you're not together as a team, it can be a long year. Like last year, I'm beyond. We weren't together as a team, and it was a long year.
You could see it.
And we were at the eighth seed, and it was a bad year. It's like you're like, oh my God, I can't wait this year is over. But this year, man, the guys are like everybody's together. I feel like similar to when I was in Denver, we ended up being the third seed, and it was just everybody played the right way. Everybody liked each other. It was good. Then I was in Dallas also, and we won the championship, and it was like. We gel at the right time.
You know, I forgot you were on that Denver team. So you were there when Ty and Costa were the starting point guard. That was George coach you there, and then he got fired. But I still think as the third seed, I thought it would really hurt you guys. Gallinari got hurt with about 10 games left. And then Kenneth Faried had a bum ankle or something. And again, I'm not taking anything away from the Warriors, but that was bad luck for you guys back then because you guys were really good. And at home – I think you only lost three games at home that year.
Two.
I'm sorry. You guys were, but things changed without Gallo, and then Fried was hobbling the whole series. He missed, I think, the first two games.
It messed our whole rotation.
Right? Am I right?
Yeah, it messed our whole rotation up when Gallo got hurt, and then when Fried got hurt in the playoffs, we were in trouble.
Talk to me about Ty Lawson because I got to tell you, you know, we know about his issues off the court, and this year he's been great. And I will tell you. I wouldn't say he's the Ty Lawson of that year when you guys won 57 and was the third seed, but he's pretty close to it. As a point guard, you were there when he, you know, was the guy that helped you get to that point. How good of a point guard is he when he's playing as well as he can?
When he's Ty Lawson, he's amazing at the point guard position. He does it all. He was averaging like 16-9, I think, that year. I think you know, he had some off the court stuff issues. I think he's working it out. I think he's getting back to where he needs to be.
And he's become a fan favorite. You know, a lot of the fans in Sacramento are love him. They know on all the websites and everything, they talk about how important he's been. He comes off the bench. He's that instant energy. And there aren't too many, you know this, there aren't too many guards in the league quicker than Ty Lawson. He can break you down and get into the paint and draw and kick.
Yeah, that's what he does. You know, he's probably still one of the fastest guys in the league right now. and he gets a chance to go out there and play and do his thing. He's amazing. I play with him. I got a lot of easy baskets off him, so I know.
Yeah. Talk to me again. You mentioned Mike D'Antoni a few moments ago, but I want to get back to that. He's been well-traveled, but, boy, when he was with Phoenix and had Nash, they were, it's, you know, again, you couldn't keep up with them, went to New York, didn't have the success, bad situation in L.A. What's he meant for this team? How's he helped turn around this team in addition to some of the free agent signings? But talk to me specifically about Mike D'Antoni.
He's meant a lot for us just because he brought the energy, the positivity. He lets you play, but he's a player's coach. You know, I feel like he brought the atmosphere back to where we needed it to be. You know, he came in, guys know their role, guys are happy, guys are playing hard for him. And he's a good guy, and that's what you want in the coach.
We're talking with Corey Brewer of the Houston Rockets. All right, let's talk football for a minute. Are you a big football guy? Who's your team?
I'm a Tennessee Titans fan.
Oh, yeah, Titans, huh?
I'm from Tennessee, so
yeah?
I'm a Titans
You've fan. Always been a Titans fan, huh?
Yeah,
so I'm trying to think, were you must have been a kid when they moved from Houston, right?
Yeah, I was a kid.
I mean, like, you weren't that old. How old do you think you were? Gosh, you were probably
7 or 8.
I was going to say.
Yeah,
and then they played in Memphis for a couple of years, right, before they moved to Nashville?
Nashville.
So Titans are your team, huh?
Titans, my team.
You know, they're getting better. I thought I like what they did this year. I thought that they showed that they're on their way to being, you know, a team that's going to be around for a while in terms of being good.
In 2 years, we're going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm telling everybody. I like Mariota. Like, in 2 years, we're going to be a good team.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Warren Moon and, you know, of course, when he was here in Houston with the Oilers and Warren being up in Seattle. Now, he comes on my show all the time. He's a class act, a Hall of Famer. But were you a football fan? I mean, again, I know I'm taking you back when you were 6, 7, maybe 8. But did the Titans – because we think Tennessee, I'm thinking college football, I'm thinking SEC, I'm thinking about how crazy everybody loves their college football. But when the Titans came, did you just automatically become an NFL fan then? Is that what did it for you?
Yeah, that did it for me because we're always football fans. In Tennessee, you're football fans as it is. So when we got a pro team, it's like, oh, man, because I'm from a small town. It's all about football until I started playing basketball.
Yeah?
Like in high school.
Do you get a lot of pressure to play football growing up?
Yeah,
or did you play football?
I played football. I quit after my sophomore year, and I got a lot of flack for it because, like, I was really good.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's mad about it.
Well, I got to tell you, you picked the right sport, man, right? You picked the right sport.
They were mad at me until my junior year. I took our team to our first state tournament in basketball, so everybody kind of forgave me.
You know, last night I saw that the Dream, you know, was there with the Dikembe Mutombo. And I got to tell you, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon was so good. He had that Dream shake and everything else. But if the game were played today, I guarantee you one thing. Hakeem Olajuwon would be shooting threes at a high rate. You know that. You know the Dream. Could you imagine, seriously, that era? Because, you know, you didn't want your center shooting threes.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Hakeem Olajuwon in his prime with a three-point shot?
He was already unbelievable. He'd been unstoppable.
I mean, think about that. He was unstoppable
So I don't even know what to say.
Hey, before I let you go, this market is so big. With the Astros now a much better team, and we know about football being king down here at both NFL and college, and the Rockets now are good again. What's it like being part of the pie down here in the competition for the sports fan and the sports entertainment? Do you feel as a member of the Rockets that you've got this city completely behind you, or is it, hey, you got to win and then we're going to follow you because if not, we're going to go root for this team here or that team? What's it like being in a market like this?
It's good. I think they're behind us. You know, I feel like Houston's a good sports city to be in. You know, they love the Texans, they love us, they love the Astros, and they're behind us. You know, we sell out. Everywhere I go, everybody's like, go Rockets. They know who you are. So Houston's a good sports city.
Well, I got to tell you, man, it's fun watching you guys play. I wish you the best. When you guys are on, I don't think you can be beat, and I've said that. I mean, when you guys are on collectively, I really believe you guys could be, and I hate, don't take this the wrong way, the dark horse, because no one's expecting you guys. You know that. But I got to tell you, if you guys are all on and you only have to be on for 4 games, I'm not sure who could beat you guys.
That's what I said. We're going to be tough to beat if we're on. It's 7-game series. We can be on for 4 of those games.
Yep.
We're
not
going to get beat.
I really enjoyed it.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's Corey Brewer of the Houston Rockets. And again, we're coming to you from Radio Row, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Back here on Radio Row in Houston, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Former NFL quarterback Cordell Stewart here on Radio Row, doing a little bit of business, doing interview after interview after interview after interview. You probably have done more interviews here than you did when you played with the Steelers for all those years.
Along with having to do my show after the interviews.
Yeah.
I'm on every Monday through Friday with TuneIn, from 4 to 7, myself and Brian Weber, 4 to 7 Eastern time. We talk everything NFL. We almost like the Netflix of audio is what we like to say.
Really?
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it for a full year. A full year. Actually, calendar year, I think today is a full calendar because the first day we started was last year on Radio Row. Myself and Brian Weber, and we're on from 4 to 7 Monday through Friday. You can catch us on demand if you don't catch us live, or even go to NFL No Huddle, the podcast, and catch us on the podcast. So we're a lot of fun, excitement, similar to what you're doing
yeah.
right now. And it's a great show, great show.
So you really enjoy it because it's still new. You've said you've been doing it for a year, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, they love the media now. And let's face it, the media encompasses so many different entities, you know, radio, TV, digital, I mean, everything. I mean, but you really love it?
I actually do. And it's no disrespect to the pundits that's been doing it for many years. But I think when you get former players that actually have the canning ability to cross over into that life.
Yeah.
Let's say John Lynch, prime example.
Yep.
Look what he did with Fox, and all of a sudden,
it's unbelievable.
Here it is. He's a freaking GM over at the 49ers. If you can cross over into that life to get your story out, I think bring your collective experience of the game into the world of media, I think it really brings substance to the conversation and everything you're trying to do. So when you have that, I think it really helps tremendously, especially if you can team up. Let's just say Mike Greene and Mike Golic on Mike and Mike on
yep.
ESPN.
Yep.
I think it's a phenomenal way, one guy who's no disrespect and pardon the pun in a sense of relationship, a nerdy kind of guy.
Yep.
And you have the athletic guy.
That's right.
You know, the nerdy guy trying to tell
the
nerdy guy trying to tell the athletic guy actually how to think. And then you have the athlete trying to tell the nerdy guy how to understand and translate it into physicality and also the mental side. So it's a great combination. I think that's probably why it's one of the number one shows, whether it's on television and what they do, and also on the radio, is because they have a great crossover and
yep.
a great relationship in their approach. And very respectful towards one another. They get their battles in, and they step away and actually get to the true substance of the conversation. So I do like it. It's, you know, I've been talked about for so long, so now I get to do talking
myself.
That's
awesome,
man.
Cordell Stewart with us. You know, I was speaking earlier with Willie Colon. And Willie, you know, I've never talked to Willie before, and he sat where you are, and we spent 15 minutes, and he got up, and I'm like, man, that's one of the most enjoyable conversations I've had with a person. Forget about a former athlete in a long time, and
yeah.
I asked him what he wanted to do, and he said he was looking to get into broadcasting, and I'm like, now that would be a guy that would be great, because he
Willie Colon? Did you say
yeah.
Willie Colon?
Yeah.
Yeah, he came on with us. Yeah.
How great it was, but you know,
yeah, go ahead,
but
I'm
he
sorry.
Was great, right? I
yeah.
mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you
well,
talk to people every day, and you're like, as I'm talking to him, I'm like, man, you know what? He would be really good doing this.
Well, here's the thing. He has an opinion.
Yes.
And you can tell he went to school, one. And two, you can tell he may do a little bit of writing. Because when telling a story, you don't have to be all over a place. You find something, you talk about it, you write it out until it's time to kind of sprout out through the conversation and exchange a dialogue with yourself or whomever else he may be on with. He came on with us a few times. He was on Radio Row with us a couple times. Actually, he was here with us this weekend. We also
yep.
had Max Starks.
Oh, wow.
He was another good one.
Yep.
He was a Pittsburgh Steeler that came on. Le'Veon Bell came on with us. We had also Mike – who was it? Singletary, who came on with us. So, you know, we've had some good guys that had some good dialogue, had some good conversation, but most importantly, they have an opinion. Not everyone that has an opinion has a good one, but these guys gave us some really good
awesome.
Sound. We even have Tim Brown on with us.
I love Tim.
You know, he's really good at it
Tim.
As well. So
yeah, he's never, ever held back.
No, he's never held back. And one guy who I really love, who I think who actually can move the needle for you, is someone like a Rodney Harrison. You think of Rodney on NBC, who's on.
He moves the needle.
He
does a great job.
Man, he is. He's really good, and he hits you with some great punchlines every once in a while to kind of make you, you know, get yourself together in your seat. So, with saying that, there's a lot of guys out there that can do it. It's just, do they want this to be their job? You know, I like talking about sports. I played the game. To run away from it and not talk about it, I think doesn't do me any service when it comes down to be relevant within the game I play.
We're talking with Cordell Stewart here, Radio Row, Grant Napier on Sports 1140 KHDK. I talked to Willie about, I'm from New York, grew up diehard Giants fan, and the Mara family to me, it's a right way to run a franchise. I look at the Rooney family, and I've never been inside the walls like you were and like Willie. But I'm just wondering, when you go to play for a franchise like the Pittsburgh Steelers
yes.
and then you're not there, And you, I think you went to two other teams. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Chicago, then Baltimore.
Okay. Is there truly a difference when you're with the Steeler organization and the way they run things? And not to disrespect the Bears, because they also have had great heritage with their ownership over the years, but what's it like when you're in that family of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Oh, the Rooney family is, I mean, they're like the godfathers, like the Mara family, whether it's the Giants or even the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around for a long time and been doing it for a long time. And I think the thing that makes the Steelers so intriguing, it's like America, so to speak. A lot of blue-collar, hard-working people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of the Steel City, you think of the steel mills. You think of families that actually, when it came to their health plans, went through the steel mill industries. And then once that fell apart, those families that were still in Pittsburgh still lived there from generations and generations on. To where when it comes down to their passion towards what they believe in, going all the way back to the steel mill industry, you now implement that into something that's, let's just say, that applies that physicality that's more entertaining. So you have these families that come out here that they don't look like they're the most richest families in the world. They don't look like they're the poorest family, but they're really good quality, fun-loving, passionate Steeler fans that love the mindset and the approach of how the Steelers were derived. You know, starting with the racetracks and the horses and Mr. Rooney
that's
himself.
That's so awesome.
I mean, you go all the way back in the history of it when you think about Art Rooney, the big man, Art Rooney Sr., and how he was and how he was so beloved by the people in that community. To Dan Rooney, who was like somewhat of a father figure to me. I mean, really short guy, right? Little bitty guy, walks around and has a hand that's made to shake hands.
Right.
I mean, you just think about it. Now Art Rooney Sr., Jr., it's now actually taken over a little bit more than he did in the past because his father, Dan Rooney, as time goes on, you understand that process. But they're the most beloved, I would say, organization around the league. We traveled anywhere in the country, whether it's Mexico, whether it's Ireland, which is where the family actually started out in Ireland.
That's unbelievable.
To actually going to places like San Diego, Qualcomm Stadium when it was there. Saw more Steeler fans.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Stadium at Qualcomm than anywhere else.
Well, Steeler fans travel probably as well as any. Maybe Dallas and that's
it. And when you think of those little pubs in some cities, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. There's always one dedicated for Steeler
fans. Whether it's Sacramento.
Doesn't matter. You're right.
Whether it's Dallas.
Yes, there is in Sacramento.
I'm telling you. Yep. Whether it's Dallas.
And it's
whether
packed.
It's Atlanta.
Yes.
You know, even my restaurant I have, which is called Sports One in Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have my picture on the wall, you know.
We were just in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Where's it at?
It's off of 9th and College.
Oh, okay.
It's off of 9th and College. And it's a really 521 North College.
Awesome.
And it's a sports lounge, not a sports bar.
Really?
And myself and a guy by the name of Peter Thomas, we have one there. And
awesome.
You know, a lot of Steeler fans in Charlotte.
Oh, I bet. Well, I was just – I do the Sacramento Kings, and so we were just there.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, we were there sorry, I just got off an 8-game road trip, so I don't even know what the hell day it is today. But we – oh.
Start stuff running together, right?
Let me tell you something, man. We were there over the weekend, and let me tell you something. Downtown Charlotte?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Like, it was a zoo. It was happening. I mean, you would have thought, like, there was a huge event going on. I just can't believe how downtown Charlotte has changed since they built the arena there and, you know, the Ritz-Carlton and that area right across from there. I mean, that place was hopping. It was unbelievable.
Well, you know, what I want to say is the banking industry.
Yes.
When you think of Charlotte.
That's right.
When it comes down to education, you could call it the education industry. You have Appalachian State right around the way.
Yeah.
You have UNC and University of North Carolina to Duke and Raleigh-Durham right there around the way.
That was amazing.
I mean, it's unbelievable when you think how up and coming.
And the NASCAR is centered there, aren't they?
Yeah, like, I'm laughing because Carl Dukes, who I used to be with Atlanta, is right next to me. He looked at my face while I was talking. I'm sorry. But, yes, everything about it is up and coming. Great community.
It's great.
Good people. They consider it as the Bible Belt. So, you know, there's a lot of good quality people there.
I love Charlotte. It's great.
Charlotte, hands down. And I have some – I'm a member at a golf course in Pinehurst that kind of causes me to kind of go through Charlotte every once in a while. But you know, the, for some reason, those blue skies are a little bit bluer than other places that I've gone to.
So
because maybe the people are just so good.
But you just said something that caught my ear. Pinehurst, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I go there, and I'm a member at a golf course right there in Southern Pines, which is which is another city, a county right over from Pinehurst, which is the city and where actually at Pinehurst number 2, where the Open was played.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I love going to that. My dad and I, before he passed, like almost 5 3/4 a year or so ago, we used to go there after every season and spend like 2 or 3 weeks at my golf
That's
course.
Awesome.
And stay in one of the
you
houses.
Got the golf bug. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I've been doing the Kings games for 29 years, right?
Yes.
And when I started doing the games, very few of NBA players play golf.
Yeah.
And then really, and I think it was brought on by Tiger Woods, there was an era where like Spud Webb played on the Kings, and Spud is a dear friend of mine.
Right.
And Spud would play golf every single chance he could, but then more and more teammates started playing
yes,
golf,
yes.
And now they all play golf. You know, all of our players.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
unbelievable.
I mean, when you say your players, I know you're speaking more from a Sacramento standpoint.
Yeah.
Just basketball in general. You see Ray Allen. I mean, he's a phenomenal handicap.
Absolutely.
Okay. You see Stephen Curry.
He's amazing.
I mean,
I cover the celebrity tournament at Tahoe
yeah.
every year. They're amazing.
And so when you look at all these players, and I'm missing a few. Michael Jordan. You know how,
oh, yeah.
how much of an advocate he is of the golf game.
Yep.
And Charles Barkley, even though his golf swing is. It's somewhat, you know, would rush you to a hospital watching that stuff.
But on the range.
It's fun.
Have you ever watched him warm up?
Yeah.
He actually hits the ball darn well.
Actually, my first year playing in the Tahoe tournament,
yeah.
which is right over the mountains from Sacramento,
yeah.
When you go through Reno, I had a chance my first year to play in the last group with him because I played so bad my first year out based on nerves, and I had a chance to see that for 18 holes.
That would give you
nightmares. Is that enough?
That would give you nightmares.
Good God almighty.
Well, listen, you get
morning.
Some more snacks before you
I
head
will.
Out of here.
I will. Thank you. I tell you, man, when I walked over here because I've been talking so much,
yeah.
I'm like, I got to get some sugar in my system.
Got to do it, man.
Seriously. Thank you much.
Cordell, it's been a pleasure. Thank
so
you.
Much. Thank you.
That's Cordell Stewart joining us here from Radio Row. We're coming to you courtesy of Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Grant Napier, Sports 1140, KHTK. Back here on Radio Row. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Grant Napier, and I can't wait to get on that airplane and get out of here. I want to go home.
Yes,
it's been
do.
Too darn long. But the dog doesn't get to go home. That's Christopher Mad Dog Russo because he's got to do his show here tomorrow. How are you, buddy?
Hello there, Grant. How's my main man?
You're the best.
Doing well. The Kings worked hard on that road trip.
Oh, boy.
That's a tough
yeah.
game in Houston the
oh,
other night.
Oh, boy.
Terrible, though. A lot of travel. Terrible.
Philadelphia on Monday. And
that's hard.
So here's the deal. I'm in Cleveland, right? We're playing the Cavaliers. It's the most exciting game of the year. I get a text message from Dog.
I picked it up late second half.
Yeah, so he's telling me, hey, man, watch. You're doing a great job. And, like, he's blown away because I got right back to him.
I couldn't believe it. The game is still going on. Thanks, Chris. I was shocked. Yes, indeed. Grant's got the phone next to him doing the ball. No wonder he gets the calls wrong. But I love him. That was
you're
fun.
You're a beauty.
Oh, I love you, Grant. Grant and I go back to 1965.
That's
so we
right.
go back a long
right, so
time.
Get a load of this. I just had sitting in the chair next to you, Jerry Kramer.
Oh, I love him.
I know. And let me tell you something. Like, you and I have been doing this forever. I don't normally get caught up in that stuff, but I looked at Jerry Kramer and I go, you know what? I go, it is such an honor to have you sitting across from me. You know what I mean? Like when
not
I think
in the Hall of Fame either, you know.
No, which is wrong.
He should be. But, they got too many Packers in there.
Yeah, but you know what though? When I think NFL in that era when you and I were growing up, Jerry Kramer was a household name in football.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
He wrote the books with Dick Schaap, yeah. Instant Replay, and everything else. He was a good TV presence. Kramer is one of the good guys, and he's obviously, you know, he does a lot for the old-time players.
Yep.
And he'll tell you that, you know, he can sit there and reminisce about the Ice Bowl drive, 68 yards, 345, down the field they came, that kind of weather. He can reminisce about then a block on Jethro Pugh. He can talk about that
oh, yeah.
forever.
Well, what you guys don't understand, and I'm talking with my producer Jay and my engineer out here, Jason, is like this kid. You know, we grew up in freaking New York.
And I hated the New York team.
He hated all the New York teams. So, you know, of course,
you know why? Because of Grant. Because Grant told me crazy. Yankee baseball, Giant football, and the Rangers and the Knicks. You know, he's a bigger Ranger fan than he is anything else.
That's right.
I love
the Rangers.
He is right now.
Let's
but he used
go,
to be.
Rangers.
Are you a bigger Ranger fan?
Oh, yeah. I watch. I love, you know, I still love hockey.
So you what? Your Rangers, you're still.
You don't ever go to any hockey games, do you?
I do in the postseason. Postseason.
Come on.
I can't go in a regular season.
Yeah, can't? So get a load of this. All right, you get a kick out of this. So we were playing in New York a couple weeks ago. We had a game on a Sunday against the Knicks, and the Rangers had a 1 o'clock game on Saturday, right? So I flew my wife in, and I took her to her first-ever Rangers game. So to get her ready, I you know, gave her the education on the Potvin sucks chant with the whistle, right? And then I
only Grant.
That's right. And then I went back on YouTube and got the game in 1978 that I was at with my dad and my brother on our Christmas break when we were in college, when the Rangers played the Boston Bruins, and Terry O'Reilly and Peter McNabb and Stan Jonathan and the rest of the Bruins climbed over the glass at the end of the game into the stands in their skates.
I remember that.
Right.
Famous.
And I was at that game.
Were you really?
Me, my dad, and my brother. It was a December game in 1978, I believe. And at the end of the game, I didn't know this until the next day, they had to call the mounted police in because the Ranger fans were trying to tip over the Bruins bus.
Well, how about that? And, you know, I did not know that story. Grant goes back to the early 70s when the Rangers were really good.
Yep.
Rangers, Bruins, Blackhawks,
there's only six teams.
No, that year, there was more than.
But it went in the 60s. When I started watching, it was Boom Boom
six.
Jeffrey on, Eddie Jockerman.
The six teams.
Right. Yep.
But in the early 70s, the other conference had Philadelphia,
that's
St.
Right.
Louis, had all the expansion teams. But Grant would love the Rangers. So I would go to Grant's house in 1970, 71, and the Rangers were playing a big series against the Blackhawks. They beat the Blackhawks in Game 6 one year when Pete Stemkowski scored in quadruple overtime and played Chicago in Game 7 and lost Game 7. I watched it with him. And I like the Blackhawks, of course, as I hate the Rangers. So the Ranger, Nick, Giant, not the Jets.
No.
And Yankee, not the Mets. That is Grant's staple historically.
That's right. And doggy, San Francisco Giants, Green Bay Packers. If I liked the team,
the
he
Lakers.
Hated that team.
And,
the Lakers. I'd be like, come on now.
I used to, Grant and I was combative.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I used to love the Lakers.
That's
in
right.
In the early 70s.
Oh,
I
you
love
the Lakers.
I was a big Jerry, fan.
He was,
Jerry West.
Yeah, but,
oh,
but you, but you, but when we played basketball, he always was Gale Goodrich.
Oh, I love Goodrich,
I
too.
I told you. See?
Oh, yeah, always Goodrich and West, that great Laker team in the early 70s.
That's right.
I was into that team.
You love Gale Goodrich.
I remember they played the Knicks a lot in the finals, played them three times in the finals. So we had them in 69, 70, and Grant and I used to go to the same bus stop because we lived right near each
that's
other.
Right.
So Grant and I would talk about Knicks, Lakers the night before, same bus stop. I'll tell you something else. 71, we dropped Grant off at home at night, the night of the Frazier Ali fight, and only, first form, and only Grant, he's 11 years old, 12 years old, Grant was so into that Ali Frazier fight. You are talking, folks, to an incredible sports fan. Grant, what are you, 58?
Not yet. 57. Don't make me any older than I am.
16?
57.
June
coming up in June 18th.
June 18th.
That's right.
June. So that is, so think about it.
We grew up together.
Years.
I'll never forget. I hope you don't mind me saying this. I'll never forget in first grade, and Chris was coming to school and was just crying, and Chris, you know, never could get Chris to stop talking, but I'll never forget that day. Yeah, Chris's little dog had gotten run over on Split Rock Road.
Oh, you Oliver.
Yep,
I
Oliver.
Came in that,
that's
I came
right.
in that day. Did
yep.
I really crying?
Yo, boy, you were a mess. You were a mess. And
well, I remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember me doing that,
yeah,
but I remember
your dog
the
Oliver, the little white poodle.
The little white poodle. Yeah. Only Grant would remember little Oliver. You are the best.
No, I remember Oliver. And I remember Tony yelling at us, too, when we were at the house. You know, his dad, let me tell you something. When he wanted you to leave, it was time to leave. We were playing. We'd be playing street hockey in the basement. We making too much noise. And here Tony comes down with his black dress shoes and his black socks and his shorts on. Grant, it's time to go. You got to go.
Yeah, no question about it. And I was close to his father, too.
Bert Napier,
who was a great sports fan and loved tennis.
Yep.
And Grant played a lot of tennis. You know how many times Grant and I, during the week, would go to the Syosset Racquet Club
all the time
to play tennis?
Yep.
We did this time and time
yep.
again. Folks, that's just 45 years ago. And here it is. Grant's been doing the Kinks for 29 years, and I'm doing talk radio. So
is that unbelievable?
It is hard to believe.
The only thing I've never worked out is how you make 50 times more than I do.
That's
what I don't understand. I should have gone into serious radio for crying out loud.
You could do it.
You got a special show today.
Well, we're going to do a simulcast.
That's right.
This is Mike's last Super Bowl, so we're going to do at least
Francesa.
Yes, Mike Francesa, my old radio partner. So we're going to do an hour of simulcast commercial-free. Good job knowing that. 5 o'clock tonight.
That's good stuff.
So I figured it would be something different.
You guys, well, listen, for the people that don't know, that aren't familiar with East Coast radio, really, Chris and Mike, really, that's why sports radio exists today. I mean, seriously, they were the first, you know, real duo. They started it all, and it became like it spread like wildfire throughout the country. But you guys really were the first.
1990 first Super Bowl. That was the San Francisco-Denver one, 55-10 in New Orleans. Us and New Orleans Radio, only one there.
None now, think about that.
Think about that. Now, that's 28, 29 years ago. None of these stations. Eddie Anderman may have been there from EEI in Boston.
I'll never forget this story. Driving home on the Long Island Expressway with my brother, and I'm listening to Mike and the Mad Dog, and Chris, they got Don King on.
Don
would not stop talking, and Chris goes, Don! And Don kept on talking. Don!
Don just
And he goes, nobody, but he goes like this. Shut up, Don!
Did I say that?
Yes, you did. And then you go, shut up, Don! And I'm like, I'm in the car. I was literally crying so hard, like I couldn't even see anymore. But here's Chris Russo on WFAN telling Don King, shut up, Don!
We had him on about, you know, Don could blow you away with all his... Yeah, with those, enthusiasm. And I was trying to get a word in edgewise. Here you are, was your brother a big sports fan?
Yeah, oh, huge.
Stu now?
Stu, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Stu now.
He's a teacher out at Freeport High School on Long Island.
Yeah. What does he teach? Math, right?
Math, yeah.
He's been doing that forever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Another time. 1976. Grant's in Spain. Fuenterola, Spain.
That's right.
And to see his mother. Who passed away, right?
Yes.
And I was with my family in Costa del Sol.
That's right.
And I got to my apartment at 9 o'clock at night. We traveled in from Madrid. He knew I was there. He waited. We missed him. But he waited 3 hours,
yep.
4 hours to see when we were going to show up in Costa del Sol, summer of 76. Do you remember that?
Darn right I remember that.
You were 16
yep.
and I
That's
was
right.
16.
Yep. I remember
That's how
that.
Far we go back.
Yep.
You guys weren't even born yet.
I know you got to get on the radio, buddy.
I love you, Grant.
You're the best.
What do you got, Carl? Kings, what's the next game against?
Well, we got a game tomorrow, Phoenix. We got a game Saturday against Golden State. And then Monday, we have another game. 3 games in 4 nights. Welcome home, Grant. God. 3 games in 4 nights.
Is the Monday game home or away?
Home. We're home for 6 straight games.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
So who you got Monday?
I don't even know, man. I don't barely know what day it is. I haven't even looked at the schedule that far. I can't. You know what? I don't know who we have on Monday. I know we got Phoenix tomorrow and Golden State on Saturday.
So you've been away for about 10, 12 days now.
I've slept in, I've been in 10 different beds and 14 nights.
Tonight? Are you going home tonight or tomorrow?
Darn right I'm going home tonight. See you, buddy.
I love you.
You're
man.
The best.
Keep in touch.
You're the best.
See you soon.
All right. He's a beauty. That's Chris Russo. We're here at Radio Row, courtesy of Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube, we've got you covered. Come right back.